God bless you. I mentioned this morning, Brother Branham said that we had something coming. You remember I read that Brother Branham said, we're promised something that's going to come. How many of you expecting something? You know, it used to be that, well, we're expecting a revival. We're going to fast and we're going to pray and there's going to be a move of God in a mighty way and everything else. But I'm expecting something to come along that'll change me, you. That Brother Brown called it a spark of faith. He called it rapturing faith, translation faith, transformation faith, some kind of a revelation or something in your heart. And I conclude the service tomorrow by asking, well, what would it take to cause that to happen to you? What miracle would you ask for? God, you do that, then I'll know. Well, what about just to see his word coming to pass? What about just to see yourself growing in faith and believing this and recognizing the day and the hour and the message you live in? It's like one time Jesus asked, will you also go away? And he said, well, Lord, where will we go? If I'm not going to believe Brother Bram's message, then where am I going to go? What am I going to believe? What if everybody else turns it down, walks away from it? What am I going to do? Well, it's like this, folks. I don't know anybody else that have me. There's not a denomination I could go to that would even let me come in. You know, we said, well, I'll quit this and I'll go join the baptism. But you know, if I would go, my reputation would precede me. And if I'm not going to pastor Tucson Tabernacle, where am I going to go? Who would have me? I was talking to Sister Green on the way to church. You know, we do talk every once in a while. And I told her, I said, honey, I said, you know, I don't like to be the odd one all the time. And just, why can't I see what the other brothers get so excited about? Yeah. And I think she did this to him, and she said, it takes a revelation. Well, I agreed with her, but then she said, well, you know, honey, if you didn't have that, how would God perfect you? And I said back to her, you mean you wasn't enough? And we love one another enough. She laughed about it. But you know what? All these things are for our good. And I mentioned, you know, that there's something going to happen. We're promised that. And I gave you four verses of scripture this morning about Jesus said that the spirit that's in me will come live in you. Well, that's a wonderful promise. Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hey, why wouldn't anybody want the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't anybody want to have the presence of God around them? Why wouldn't you want to obey Acts 2:38? To repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. These are the promises that are there. But then a brother was spiritual enough. He picked that up today and he gave me a couple of verses of scripture here. And one of them is reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. They may put this up, but it says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing which God, with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I'm expecting that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And Brother Branham brings that in the sixth seal. One of those vials is separation from God. But here's the climaxer. Here's the clincher. Listen to this. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Well, that's something. I'd like for that something to happen to me. That's a promise, isn't it? There's something going to happen. It's not that we say it has to, but something is going to happen. Don't lose your enthusiasm for that. You know, I'm referring to that this morning, that, you know, you wonder sometimes why some of the things you say it with all the sincerity in your heart, and somebody wants to come along and misquote you. Like the statement I made this morning about somebody saying, well, did you know Perry Green now denies that doesn't believe that William Branham is the fulfillment of Malachi 4 anymore? Why would anybody even repeat that? Why would that be important enough? Well, it reminded me of the experience I had at Wheaton College when there was a man who challenged me about Brother Branham's doctrine on the serpent seed. And I said something to him, and my answer to him was, sir, I believe it. And he said, well, then why in your book did you say that it ruined his ministry? And I mean, I got up out of my chair. And I was fixing to tell them, I didn't say, and the moderator said, wait a minute, Perry, wait a minute. He says, you know, when somebody goes to the trouble to misquote you, that means that you have arrived. And he was referring to page 27 in Acts of the Prophet, where I'm telling the story about Brother Borders, and I went over to see Brother Gordon Lindsay. And I wondered how he could do this for me, but he said, I said, a minister well known all over the world. And he thought I was talking about myself. And I said, that minister said that, but that man misread that I said that. Well, he made me the minister known all over the world. I had arrived. And you know what? I think God did that in his mercy to me to help me understand, because sometimes these things can be very frustrating and upsetting and disturbing, that why would anybody want to do that when the truth is that if you said the truth, you just let it be. You don't have to defend the truth. Amen. Brother Branham said, tell the truth. You don't have to remember what you said.
Yeah, that's right.
But now if you made up a story and you concocted some kind of a tale or something like that, then you better remember the details or somebody going to catch you. But if you tell the truth, then you can just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and it's going to come out the same all the time. You didn't leave out this detail. I've seen that with some brothers' dreams and visions. Over the years, they've added details to it. And you say, but now in 67, you say, well, I forgot that. But if you did it, shouldn't forget it. It happened.
Yeah.
You see, you forgot, you added that little detail to it. But the truth is the truth.
Yes, right.
Now, I told you that this morning I talked to you about the six seals. And Brother Branham is the one that called them a sixfold mystery. I didn't coin that phrase, but since I have said what I said about the seventh seal, there have been people that'll take the seal book, and they did this right in front of me, and says, what does this say on this book? The revelation of the seven seals, not six seals. Well, I've never denied the seven seals. This is a sevenfold mystery, not a sixfold mystery. I'm happy to say that one brother who's been the most vocal on that worldwide, he called me a couple of months ago, and he couldn't have been any nicer to me. You know what? I think that he stopped and read what I sent him. And here's the question I ask. I believe everything Brother Branham said about the seven seals, every single word of it. But I can't believe something that I can't hear him say.
Right.
And if Brother Branham revealed anything about the seventh seal, other than there's going to be silence, and that it's the coming of the Lord, I want somebody to read it to me. But I can read you 21 quotes tonight where Brother Branham said he did not show it to me. Now, if somebody comes along and says, but Brother Branham said this, then how, where did Brother Branham get it? Brother Branham respected this, so he said Jesus didn't even know it. Does that belittle Brother Branham and take away his prophetic gift because he says he didn't know it? Why? What? See, to them, he knows everything. So he's got to know this. They come along and they say, but Brother Branham, in Surge, this is a time, he said the mysteries. But I'll give you a couple of quotes where Brother Branham said, now, here's the mystery. It's the mystery of the scriptures,
amen,
of the word. Brother Branham only had one mystery. That was the mystery of who Jesus was.
Amen.
You may say, well, wait a minute. Look how Brother Branham did this. Brother Branham said there's only one sin. Oh, no, there's, and you start naming them off. No, I'm sorry, but that's attributes. That's characteristics. What is the only sin? Unbelief. Failing to disbelieve God. Now, there can be things that you may not know that you call mysteries, but the mystery of God, that's going to be finished, that's been revealed. Brother Branham says it a number of times, is that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. You can't know that and believe the Trinity. But I tell you what, once you do have a revelation and understanding of who Jesus is, then you get an understanding of who you are and what's supposed to happen to you, and how you're supposed to treat other people and react with them. Now, I don't believe that anybody just deliberately says, well, to be different and to be mean, I'm going to say this just to be controversial. I think that people do this because they honestly believe they're correct. And you usually, if you look at it, you can find where they misunderstood something, or they misplaced something, or they were told something, or they were influenced, or something was misquoted or misprinted or miswritten to them. You take the brothers in the Congo. I don't think those brothers over there want to believe something's wrong in believing that the face of Jesus appeared in that cloud, and they believe as a result that was the coming Lord. I don't think they want to believe that if it's wrong. But somebody told them that's the way it was, and nobody told them any different. Now, that's the same thing that happened with the seals. When Brother Branham preached the seven seals, he did not release the seventh seal as he preached it. In 1963, it was not made available to the public, to the person, to me, to everybody else, even to those that were there, until April of 66. So for 3 years, 64, 65, and 66, there were people that they took what they heard, and then it was not until 1967 that it was printed. And there was a lot of people in the world that had Brother Branham's message but did not have the seals. Until this church, we as a group of people, printed 20,000 seal books, the bright yellow ones, on newsprint paper, and distributed them all over the world free of charge. How would you like to have Brother Branham's message? Take, for example, like this book right here, these books. They were published by Edmonton End Time Believers, which Brother Harold Hildebrandt pastored, and they printed about 35,000 of these, about 120 sermons, and distributed them all over Africa. Wonderful job. But they didn't have the seven seals. The seven seals was 10 sermons in a book. It was something that was out of their budget. They could print these and distribute them and mail them all over the world, but to print 20 or 30,000 seal books at one time, it was something that they were not financially strong enough to do. And I started, as I traveled through Africa and those places, I found Brother Bram saying, the seven seals, but people didn't even know what they were. But they could read in a book like Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck. They could read that on page 18, paragraph 101, which was printed in 1971. It says this. Now, in the Pentecostal age, through the Lutheran age, through the Wesleyan age, it's been the same thing through the Pentecostal age. Now, notice, but at the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 10, the full word is to be born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength as it was when it was here on earth, manifested in the same way. Now, they could read that statement, but they didn't have the seal book. They didn't have the, at that time, cassettes. They were available, not everybody listened to them. So brothers would read this and say, oh, Brother Branham said the seventh seal is Revelation 10. Well, they begin to read Revelation 10, and they said, oh, it means this, it means this, it means this, and they established themselves an interpretation of the seventh seal. See, they'd never read that. Brother Branham said, he didn't show it to me. I don't know what it is. They hadn't read that. They only read this. Now, what makes this interesting is that in 1979, they printed that same sermon again. And listen to what it says this time. On page 17, it says, but at the opening of the seven seals. Now, what did it say in this one? At the opening of the seventh seal. But this one says, but at the opening of the seven seals. Now, is there any difference in that? Huh? But now, they already had the interpretation of the seals from this one. Same sermon, one word different. Seventh, seven. The difference. All right? Then when the error is discovered and it manifests itself in the way people are interpreting the seventh seal, then when somebody like myself points it out to them, they say, well, oh, that's too much confusion. We can't go back and undo that. Undo what? They're the ones that say, let's believe every word, or every word is true, every word is infallible. And then Brother Branham cautions us about one word in the Garden of Eden. Made. Then at the same time, Brother Branham, when he preached Feast of the Trumpets, which was July the 19th, 1964, and this book was published and distributed. And Brother Branham, this statement here, the seventh seal hasn't opened yet. You know, that's his coming. Right. Now, in the Congo this last trip, when the brothers got up and preached, Brother Branham, time and time and time and time again, said the seventh seal was Revelation 10, time and time and time again. I asked him, I said, show me one time. I said, well, let me show you one. He said, the seventh seal hasn't opened yet. Now, I'm not rejoicing because that's so. I'm rejoicing because that's what Brother Branham said. I said, can I read this from your church? Can I read this statement in your pulpit? Well, it is written, but they didn't invite me to come say it. Rather, they go up there and say, Perry Green don't believe the seventh seal anymore. Perry Green believes everything I ever believed about the seventh seal. I just believe what Brother Branham said about it. Now, I put this challenge out, and I don't do this in a facetious way. I want somebody to show me where Brother Branham says what the seventh seal is, in addition to it's the coming of the Lord. And when you say that, then I'm going to ask you, which coming? Brother Branham said there's only three. He came to redeem us. He's going to take us away. And he's not going to come back to this earth for that one. You can go through a study on that corporal body and everything else. Jesus Christ will not set foot on this earth until he comes back. He slips back from the wedding supper. And he won't do that in person. He does that with Moses and Elijah. But when he comes back and sets foot on here, when is it then? You know what? I'm going to be with him. That's Revelation 19. Now, how else can you explain it when Brother Branham says that the bride left here at the end of the fourth seal, Revelation 5, and don't come back to Revelation 19? So what is that in the middle? To me, somebody got the cow eating grass out of the top of the tree. And because their pastor or their favorite preacher or somebody else has said it some way else, they don't want to hear what I got to say. Well, really, that's not my problem. I'm not here to please people to say what they want to hear. I'm here to try to be an honest brother to show you this is what Brother Branham taught us about it. Now, this morning I thought it was a lousy job, but some of the people said, if I canned it, I should print it. There's some polishing up, but I'd like to take out the repetition and so forth. But tonight, just to make sure that I wasn't out of balance with it, I asked Sondra this afternoon if she would run me a quote search on the characteristic of the seventh seal. Now, I told you this morning there was horses, there was thunder, there was a voice of God, there was a beast, there was a description of the riders. It happened on earth. The fifth and the sixth seal happened in heaven. There were characteristics about that. Souls under the altar. Those angels pouring out the vials in the sixth seal of judgment. But in the seventh seal, Revelations 8 and 1, one characteristic, silence. Now, what does Brother Branham say about that silence? So, I asked Sondra, I already had it, but I want to make sure I didn't miss any. I went home and got my files out, and I read what I had on it with silence, and I've got quotes tonight that I want to read you that Brother Branham said about the seventh seal. Not the seven seals, the seventh seal. Now, a lot of people don't distinguish between the two, but when Brother Branham said he showed me six, but he didn't show me the seventh, or I didn't understand it, or it hadn't been revealed, it hadn't been opened. Like, he didn't say that in Feast of the Trumpets. He didn't say the seven seals have not been opened. He said the seventh. Now, you see there, we'll pull a Bill Clinton here. What does open mean? What does revealed mean? What does fulfilled mean? What does it mean? What do those mean? Well, I think we that Brother Branham identified it. He told us it was the coming of the Lord, and it's going to be so awesome that heaven's going to be hushed, silenced. I can show you where Brother Branham said in the Sardis Church Age. That when all of them come back on white horses, it's silent because heaven's empty. I'm not going to stay behind to keep noise going on up there. That is going to be an awesome thing. And Brother Bram said, that is the third coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we've talked about his second coming, his first coming, his second coming, his third coming. And Brother Bram said, there's only three. Now, I think I've got 21 quotes where Brother Bram says comments about the seventh seal. Now, some of them are, well, some of them are before the seals. The breach and God in simplicity. Brother Branham told us before he ever preached the rest of the seals that the seventh seal was unknown. He said Jesus didn't even know it. The angels didn't know it. Nobody knew it. Only God. The seventh seal. Total secret. Silence. Then he mentioned it during the seals. While he's preaching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, he would refer to the seventh being silent. But then when he preached the seventh, he majored on it being silent and not being revealed. He talked about things of his own personal life and his own ministry that he understood now that he didn't understand before. That was a revelation to him. But in the conclusion of it all, he said, don't try to make it say something. Don't say, well, since we're bride and since we're his, since we're predestinated, shouldn't we know these things? He said, I'm telling you, for your own good. Don't do that. Well, then why do people get excited and do it? You want people to shout in some of these conventions, you just get up and say it. There were some that was offended that we hear last Sunday night at what Bernard had to say. Because that's not what their ears are accustomed to hearing. But I think it's time we laid aside our politics and our popularity contest. And if Brother Branham said it, we should all in unison say together, I believe it.
Yes.
Amen. So be it.
Yes.
You don't even have to be excited about it. Just say amen to it. And let God interpret it by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
Now, would you like me to read you these quotes? It's 10 minutes to 7. Each one of them ought to be about a minute. So 20 or 25 minutes, we should be through with this if I don't make a whole lot of comments with it. All right, let's start with the tape. It's in the Seal Series, 63, March the 23rd, page 405, and paragraph 8. It's the sixth seal. I always allowed them souls under the altar to be the early Christian martyrs, but we found out last night when the Lord broke that seal for us, it absolutely is impossible. It wasn't them. They were gone on to glory, plumb on the other side, and there they was. We found out that they were Jews that would come up during the time where from the calling now of the 144,000, which we get in tonight and tomorrow, and between the sixth and seventh seal, the 144,000 is called, and then we find out that they were martyrs that had been killed and yet had white robes on, but their names had been in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they were given white robes, each one of them. Now, in the seventh seal, paragraph 536, and now we're going to speak here now on this seventh chapter just a minute to kind of to bridge. It's between the sixth and seventh seal because that's the only material that we've got to go on right now is the sixth. Between the sixth and seventh seal is the calling out of Israel. Now, I have many fine Jehovah Witness friends sitting here. Or have been. Maybe some of them still Jehovah Witness, but they've always applied, Mr. Russell did, this 144,000 to be the supernatural bride of Christ. See, it's not. It has nothing to do in the church age at all. They're absolutely Israel. Now, we're going to read it in a few minutes. Now, this interval between the six, the seals, is a calling and sealing of the 144,000 Jews called in the tribulation prior or period after the church is gone. Now there, see, they won't come with church and bride and all that, but here I think Brother Brown is talking about believers. It has nothing to do with the church age at all. Oh, called in perfectly in harmony with the scriptures, Daniel's last 3.5 weeks allotted to Daniel's people. See, not the Gentiles, but to Daniel's people, and Daniel was a Jew. Now we're still in the, now we're in the seventh seal book. It's page 548, paragraph 4. All right. This time was between the sixth and seventh seal that he calls these people, spoken of by Jesus in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 31st verse that we've just read this. Trumpets here are the two witnesses. When the trumpet sounds is the trumpet of the two witnesses of the age of grace of the Jews. One trumpet sounds, you notice, one trumpet sounds. He said, and sound the trumpet. Now notice over here, the 31st. And he shall send forth his angels, not one, see, but two of them, with a great sound of a trumpet. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there's a sound of a trumpet. There's always his voice calling to battle. See, God speaks. These angels will come forth with the sounding of the trumpet. And you notice at the last angel's message, the trumpet sound. The first angel's message, a trumpet sound. Second angel, the trumpet sounded when he sent it out. Then it's paragraph 555. It's paragraph 6. Now, I think the new old seal book is 555:6, and the new one is paragraph 229. Now, we'll turn now to the eighth verse, of the eighth chapter of Revelation 8:1. I know that you're tired now. Now, just to listen just a few more minutes. And God of heaven help us is my prayer. We must remember that this seventh seal, listen at this, is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book sealed up the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It ever bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of the struggling nature. It's the end of everything. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible says so. Now, folks, if that happened in 63... what happened? Time, people, things, places, your conversion. Matthew, the seventh chapter, Revelation, the seventh chapter, 10th chapter, and 1 to the 7th verse. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. What then in the days of the great things to happen? Everything runs out in this time. At the end of the seventh seal. Everything runs out at the end of it. Now, page 556, paragraph 2 and 233. Notice it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even into the ushering in of the millennium. Right. See? It ends everything else and the millennium starts. Isn't that what? Ushering in?
Yeah.
It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And this is a statement he made in the rapture tape. And that rocket explodes and it goes up. Then it explodes again. It puts out 5 stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out 5 stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes, like a Roman candle, I guess. Blows out 5 stars from it. It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. That's the end. Now, here at Look in Phoenix, Arizona, which is a month later, I just finished a series of services on the last seven seals and finding in this sixth seal that there's a great interruption in nature. The moon, the stars, the earth belches forth. The church is purged. Israel is purged and everything is purged under that seventh seal so that the millennium can start in, see, ushering in the end. So that the millennium can start in, there has to be a cleansing first. The sixth seal is that judgment and cleanses the earth. And then what happened? Then Revelation 19, the millennium. There's no argument among the brothers that Revelation 19 is the millennium. Well, isn't he saying right here that this seventh seal is the beginning of that millennium? Is that any different than him saying it's the coming of the Lord? Or unless you've got it figured out, that's the second coming. All you got to do is just admit there's only three comings. And that's what the church today, and what I want to point to you, that we need a cleansing before anything can begin from God. We got to have a purging. And when we look and see things that is now under the present condition existing the way they are, we can see that we got to have something. Oh, there is that something. I wonder if that's the same something. I think it is. I think it's an attitude adjustment. Something to happen before God can continue his program in a purging. Many of us, I say, might look back to. Now, here it is. There's a man here that can turn on the light. This is in December of 63, after the seals was preached in March. Now, I see you're changing seats with each other and out in the halls and so forth. We wish we just had a place to sit down. Now, when we have those trumpets, we want to get the high school gymnasium. And notice he's talking about the trumpets. But later on, the Feast of Trumpets, they got nothing to do with us. Well, aren't they just as anxious to go with these trumpets? I'm really surprised that they've accepted him saying it has nothing to do with us. We want to get the high school gymnasium. I think it seats 5,500, and then we'd have a chance to everybody to have a seat and sit down and listen quietly while we're preaching. Oh, this, the trumpets, they're very, very fine. I'm looking at it the other day, see, on the sixth seal. All seven trumpets sound right there on that sixth seal. Yes. But that's to the Jews. Amen. Just before the seventh seal opens, the coming of Christ. He still doesn't say anything else about it. The Feast of the Trumpets, on page 147. The gathering of Israel is the trumpets. The trumpets is to gather Israel. Notice the very first trumpet sound, blood, fire, hail, and everything scattered the ground. What was he doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt, see, back into his homeland. Now, let me say this right here, that every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. So they're not under the seventh seal. They blow under the sixth seal. I read this because there are brothers that are saying, put all this under the seventh seal. All this is to happen because the seventh seal has been opened and it's being fulfilled now. Now, we'll get to that in a few minutes where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. Because the seventh seal, there was silence. No one knew that was the minute or hour that Christ would come as he revealed it to us. But every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal under the persecution of the Jews. Still the Feast of the Trumpets, 247. Pentecost feast finishes at the period of the seventh trumpet. For the next is the coming of the seventh seal. For the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ. Now, you see, there's a seventh trumpet that's under the sixth seal. Had nothing to do with the seventh seal, except it's the end of the sixth seal. Their sixth trumpet is sounded, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. 1 hour of space, remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. Now, he has said that five times in three paragraphs. The sixth seal finishes the mystery under the sixth seal just before the seventh is opened. That's simple. Notice, here's Leviticus 23:26, how in order is the scripture. After the long period of Pentecost, when Israel did reject back there and he called the Gentile church out through this Pentecostal feast, how many understand what the Pentecostal feast is? It's the fruit of the first fruit of the harvest, the first fruit of the resurrection, the Pentecost feast. Then he takes us back to the seventh seal, 532 or 51. Now, we find out that also in the Lord, let us take the scripture, the Holy Scripture, what Jesus said would take place. And how would we ever found that? And here it comes over and reveals and brings it just exactly. answering that brings out exactly to the point six of the seals. But he omitted the seventh. Now he's talking about Jesus. Then when the seals were open, God, notice here, he omitted revealing even any symbol of the seventh one. See, it's a perfect secret with God. Notice now we're going to read in the Bible in the seventh seal that's found in Revelation, the 8th chapter. And when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And that's all we have on it. Now, if Brother Branham had something else, then he didn't tell us the truth there. Somebody tell me when he got something else other than what he's saying. The seventh seal, page 534 and 62. And now we notice this being just one verse here. We'd like to do something just a little bit before this. If you notice, we skipped the seventh chapter. The sixth chapter ends up in the sixth seal, but between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there's something takes place. See how lovely that's placed in just at the right place between the sixth and seventh chapter. Now, if you notice in the seventh chapter, we notice between the sixth and seventh, there's an interval between the sixth and seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, and it's between the sixth and seventh seal. Now, what Brother Bram's saying, isn't that wonderful? That's inspiration. Not only the sixth and seventh chapter, but it's the sixth and seventh seal. Isn't that interesting? You reckon that shows a little bit that the Bible is inspired? You know, if you and I were writing a book and we had this sixth and seventh seal, and then we had these mysteries that were to come between these two, what would be the odds of ever making it chapter 7 between 6 and 8? That's what Brother Brown's pointing out to me here, that the writer of it knew the end from the beginning, so he just wrote it that way. He knew how men were going to divide it up into chapters and verses. I think of that, you know, when we put 1 John 1:9. You know, I call that our emergency. He knew that 9:1:1 was going to have a meaning. We didn't until when he made the emergency number. But how many of us knew World Trade Center was going to be 9:1:1? How many of us knew that guy was going to discover nuclear explosion on 9:1:1? How many of us knew that all these things are going to happen in 1933, 1933? I believe God knew. Amen. The year he gave Brother Brown the trance and the vision and the visitation and the commission. Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin. Roosevelt with all these executive orders. See, we could write a book on 1933 and tell about other famous people. Do you know anybody in this message got a more well-known birthday than I do? What other guy gives himself a birthday party every year? Now the seventh seal, 536 and 77. Now the eighth chapter only reveals the scene of the seventh seal, where nothing else is revealed. Now nothing is not revealed in the seventh seal. Now wait a minute, Brother Brown. Nothing is not. Is that a double negative now? Does that mean that there's nothing else revealed in the seventh seal? Well, then how can I go looking for something else? What am I going to find? I went one time to a congress on ecumenicus, and they talked about the definition of a theologian and a philosopher. And they said a philosopher was a man that'd go in a dark room looking for a black cat that's not there. But the theologian is a man who goes in there and finds that black cat. And I thought about that a lot of times. We got a lot of theologians in this message. They can look at the seventh seal and they can find a lot of things. But Brother Branham said there's nothing else there. Then, if it didn't come from the scriptures, Brother Branham said, if it don't come out of the book, it's paganism, superstition, make-believe, false doctrine. And the one who teaches it is a false teacher, a false prophet, an antichrist, a blasphemer. That gets serious. So when I show somebody that Brother Branham said it's not there, and he said, oh, I'm not going to mess with that. What are they? That gets serious to me. Oh, but he's a wonderful brother. You know, the Antichrist is very nice too. Brother Branham said he's a slicker. He's a good businessman. He does it. That doesn't mean he's economically. He just talks about he takes care of his business. It's his business to deceive you. And you know, the only ones that he can't deceive are the elect. Everybody else is subject to it. Nothing else is revealed. Now, nothing is not revealed in the seventh seal. Now, he had nothing to do in the seventh chapter. It's the revealing of the seventh seal is perfectly mute. And if I only had time, I'll try a few places to show you all the way back from Genesis in the seventh chapter. This seventh seal is spoke of from the very beginning in Genesis. What? Did you know that? That the seventh seal is spoken of throughout the scriptures beginning in Genesis. Couldn't you remember this morning bringing these things up and watch tonight bringing them up, and you find out when he gets to that seventh seal, she cuts off. Jesus Christ is speaking himself, told us the end time. And when he got told all the six seals, when he got to the seventh, he stopped. Then how does somebody continue on? I mean, I'm not belittling brothers who continue this. I'm honestly asking a question. Where did they get the authority to say anything Brother Branham didn't say about it? Now, we're going to speak here now in the seventh chapter just a minute to kind of bridge it in between the sixth and seventh, because that's the only material that we've got to go on right now. The sixth, between the sixth and seventh, is the calling out of Israel. Now, I believe we read that before. Jewish friends, Jehovah's Witnesses, have it. Maybe some of them will be. We read this at the beginning. Now, the seventh, 554. Let's just read now. Now, listen real close. Now, I want you to read with me if you can, because I'm going to refer back to this just in a little bit. Seventh chapter. Now, this is between the sixth and seventh seal. After these things, after these seals, the sixth seal was let loose. And that's the tribulation period. Everybody understand that now. Sixth seal was let loose and the tribulation was on. After this, watch. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds on the earth, that it should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any or in any tree. Four angels. And I saw another mighty angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the sea, the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, until we have sealed the servants. Not the bride, servants. Not the sons, servants. Israel has always been God's servant. The church is sons. See, by birth, Israel is his servant. Watch, every place, it's always, Abraham was his servant. We're not his servants, we're children. Sons and daughters, yeah, of our God in their foreheads. Now, Watch, our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed. And I want you to listen close to the reading of them. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And he names them off. Now, 548. All right, this time was between the sixth and seventh seal that he calls these people, spoken of by Jesus in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 31st verse that we've just read. Trumpets here of the two witnesses, when the trumpet sounds, is the trumpet of the two witnesses of the age of the grace of the Jews. Now, who is he talking about? Is that Moses and Elijah? One trumpet sounds, you notice, one trumpet sounds, he say, and sound the trumpet. Now notice over here, the 31st, and he shall send forth his angels, not one, see two of them, with a great sound of a trumpet. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there's a sound of a trumpet. That's always his voice calling to battle. See, God speaks. These angels would come forth with a sounding of the trumpet. And you notice that the last angel's message, the trumpet sound, the first angel's message, the trumpet sound, the second angel's, a trumpet sounded when he sent it out. Continuing on the seventh seal. Notice, when these seals were announced, they were all in one great divine thing to call out a group of people. There was one trumpet sound, and seven seals were broke. Now they take that statement. Well, see that right there? He says it was broke. But what do you do in the light of all the ones he said it wasn't? Is he talking about an event, a happening, or the seventh seal? Notice, gather his elected Jews from the four parts of the heavens. He mentioned the six seals that we have seen, but not the seventh. Oh, there he answers it himself. He never said nothing in here about the seventh seal nowhere. Well, then somebody's making up something. See, right away, the 32nd verse turns to a parable of the time of the calling of the elected Jews. Remember the fig tree and so forth. Now, the seventh seal, 549. Now, watch here. And he will send the angels with a trumpet and gather the elect from the four corners of heaven. Now he starts. See, he don't say nothing about the seventh seal here. He spoke of the sixth seal. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. But notice, now learn a parable of the fig tree when its branches is yet tender and put it forth leaves. You know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. 555. Now we'll turn now to the eighth verse or the first verse. Now just try to listen. I believe this is something we've already read. Let's read it though. We just remember that the seventh seal is the end time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up in the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It ever been ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world, the end of the struggling nature. It's the end of everything. No, this is another one, but it says the same thing. And there is the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible says so. Matthew, the seventh chapter. I mean Revelation's, the seventh chapter. Tenth chapter. And 1-7 verse, time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. When that in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. The end of it, at the end of the seventh seal. Now, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpet. It's the end of the vials. And even into the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. And we have read this one, so I must have got a duplication there somewhere. I'm sorry. I apologize for it. Let's go to the next one. We need to go to about 575, I think, before we do have some duplicates. I see it on my list here now. Let's try the next one. All right. Yeah. Did you notice when the Jews asked him that? You know what? We compared the scripture here with Matthew 24 with the six seals. The seventh seal was left out because, you see, Christ said only God himself knowed, not even the angels. No wonder it wasn't even written. You see, they hushed. Nothing take place then. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows when he's coming. But there'll be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. So I believe to us, so if we don't know it, and it won't be known till that time, but it will be revealed in that day and the hour that's supposed to be revealed. So the thing for us to do is to be reverent before God, serve him, and do all that we know how to do and live good Christian lives. Here now, we find that the sixth seal has been opened to us, and we see and we know that this seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that hour arrives. Now hold it right there. That's the comments he made in the motel room. He's not preaching. And people take this and say, well, that means it was revealed to us that's predestinated. We're the church of God. We're the bride. We're the privileged ones. And you're the public. And if you don't know it, you're public, but we're bride. That's a wonderful attitude, isn't it? But what did Brother Branham say? Don't do that. And then they interpret that's what they're supposed to do. The seventh seal, paragraph 576. Now, there was some reason that God let this seven voices be thundered, because it must come, for we find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand, and he opened the seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. But it's right along with what he said. No one knows his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder mystery. So you see, it's connected together. That much we have an understanding of it today, because the rest of it is it all unfolded, but this is not unfolded. But sitting in my room, and I heard or not heard it, rather seen it unfold to this seven thunders. Now, that's as far as we can go right here, and now I trust that each and every one of you will serve God and do that which is right and love him all your life and serve him, and God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
Now, why can't we do that?
Yes.
Just do it in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And then it goes back to a duplication. Now, I want to read you some of this where he says silence. That was handed to me today. You don't have this, son, so won't do it. But the earliest one we found on about was the Sardis Church Age in 1960, December the 9th. And Brother Branham said, now all powers in heaven and earth is given into my hands. He said, all the power, then God's powerless if he's another person. For the Bible said, Jesus said after his resurrection, that all power in heaven and earth both was given into my hand. And Jesus comes from heaven with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. And the Bible said that the heavens was empty for the space of a half hour. Now I want to ask you, is that Revelations 8 and 1 he's talking about? He said the Bible says that heaven was empty for the space of one half hour. Now Brother Branham used the word empty instead of silent. But he's saying it's silent because it's empty. But the one half hour to me identifies it as Revelation 8 and 1 he's quoting. Where is this big fellow? God then, He's the Christ. That's who he is. Now, in Revelation chapter 4 and 24 elders, Brother Branham said, now notice this judgment was set. Now watch Daniel when he saw the thrones of the judgment. They were empty. He seen thrones cast down, come down from heaven, the Ancient of Times down from heaven. But when John saw it, the throne was already occupied by Jesus, and the thrones of the disciples and patriarchs redeemed were already fulfilled. Daniel saw it 500 years before the time of Christ. And then after Christ makes 2,500 years, and John was living over in the age that is to come, and he had done seen all that happen. Isn't that amazing? Talking about one that knows the end from the beginning. Where Daniel didn't see it, he just seen the Ancient of Time come. He saw that. But John saw the time, the end of Daniel, but they was already redeemed at that time. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now, in the message, is this the end, sir? Brother Branham, and I told you a while ago that Brother Branham talked about the seventh seal and all these, but he says it's from Genesis. Now, there was another thunder, and the seal was opened. There was space in heaven for a half hour silence. He mentioned that in Sirs, is this the time? In the breach, we get in on that half hour of silence just after this. The second seal. And now I want you to watch here how these fellows on this pale horse, maybe here it comes, just keeps changing, it comes down, and then that great last seal to be opened is God willing next Sunday night. Then when it's happened, there was just the only thing that taken place was silence in heaven for a half hour. God in simplicity. He said there was silence in heaven for a half hour. In the breach, another place, take that one half hour that's silent. in the breach the third time, the half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence on that seventh seal next Sunday night. Before he ever preached the other six, he could already say what the seventh one was. Because there wasn't anything to say. If you go in a place and you witness something and there's nothing said, there's no noise, there's nothing but quietness and stillness, then when you come out and somebody asks you, what happened? What are you going to say? Well, nothing. You mean to tell me you were there for a half hour and nobody made a sound? That's what he said. Well, what did that mean? What do you think that was signifying? Well, it means 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, and you take divide that, well, 30 minutes is 18 years. And so that started on this day in 1983 and ended this day in 19. And that's the kind of stuff we put up with. Instead of somebody saying, nothing. Well, why wasn't there something said? Because he didn't say nothing. No, Brother Brown tells us why there wasn't anything said. Because if it was said and somebody got a hold of it, then the devil would get a hold of it and it'd be a big mess. And you tell me a bigger mess in this world today than 40,000 preachers in Africa that are sincere brothers that pray for the next meal and somebody's taught them that the Lord's already come. You tell me how to straighten up a mess like that. I looked at Brother Kelly and Brother Bernard and Brother Billy Wiggins, and I said, brothers, there's not a thing we can do about it. It'll take a work of the Holy Ghost to do this. And you know what? I'm happy to tell you he's already started it. They saw my reaction to being booed. They saw Brother Billy Wiggins' name. They saw Brother Kelly Hildebrand's response. There's been a number of them gone to Germany since then and visited Brother Bernhard. One brother over there that pastors about 15,000 people had a prostate problem and he needed taken care of, and Brother Bernhard brought him to Germany and took care of all of it. Paid the bill for he and his wife. Another brother needed to come, very serious. He couldn't get a visa. Bernhard, through his business, got him a visa and brought him in, got the equipment he needed, and sent him back home. Now, word of this gets around. But now the brother who'll say, Brother Bram said, time and time, and he ain't got time for you. So how do we do this? We live a sermon and don't preach it. And I say this, if there's anybody that they have experienced the coming of the Lord, they ought to be so much like Jesus Christ that they should love me and you. And if they can't do it, then they are not his disciple. Jesus gave us that answer. What all does it end? I made a list of this, and I'll close on this. I was surprised. Brother Bram said he omitted the seventh. He omitted revealing even the symbol of the seventh. It's a perfect secret with God. The seventh seal had nothing revealed about it. Nothing is not revealed in the seventh seal. When he gets to that seventh seal, she's cut off. When he got to the seventh, he stopped. He mentioned the six seals as we have seen, but not the seventh seal. He don't say nothing about the seventh seal. He's revealed all the six seals, but he doesn't say nothing about the seventh seal. This is just an excerpt out of each of these quotes. One of the mysteries of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunders that uttered their voices. And And there it is perfectly, because nothing knows nothing, anything about it. It wasn't even written. Here with Matthew 24 with the six seals, the seventh seal was left out. Christ said only God himself knowed, not even the angels. This seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that hour arrives. You see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. He opened that seventh seal, but you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. He said no one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seventh thunder mystery. All the mysteries of the six seals that's been sealed up, and we understand and know here that the seventh seal is not to be known. He omitted the revelation of the seventh seal. Here when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also admitted it again. We see that it is a complete mystery. We don't know what it is as yet, because it's not permitted to be broken. Now, you're talking about a summary of what he said. I just gave it to you. Now, what I want is I want one quote. Not two. One will be sufficient to create a controversy in me, showing me where he says it contrary to that. Does he say the seventh was revealed, the seventh is open, they know, we know? You don't find it. I have honestly, sincerely looked for it, and it's not there. What do I find? Silence. What can I say about it? It's the coming of the Lord. It's the ushering in of the millennium. Do I know how and when it's going to happen? No. Do I know where it is in the scriptures? Yes. Because he says and identifies it with what happens in Revelation 19. Who is involved in this? He is. The bride is. Where are we coming from? Heaven. Where are we going? Back to earth. How many of you, when you was a kid, you wanted a white horse? Why is it that's pretty well a universal thing, that every little child wants a white charger? Is that something that we're going to get? I believe it is. I cannot explain that phenomena. Why every little child that has any knowledge at all about animals would like to have a white horse. I never have heard of it. Well, I did too. Brother Earl Martin's little boy told me one time that he had when he told the story of Joseph, and his father gave him a paint pony. You know, a coat of many colors. He understood coat of many colors. And that kid used to tell me that story every time I'd see him, that Joseph's father loved him until he gave him a paint pony. It took me a while to figure it out, but being around horses, a coat of many colors. But what did you want when you was a child? You want a palomino? You're getting close to a pale one there now. You want most would want that white horse, wouldn't they? That white charger. Is that a promise? That's already ingrained in our spiritual genes. I'm going to get a white horse. And I'll have a new body. It'll be legal for me to ride him. Take the name of Jesus. Take the word. Rejoice in it. And folks, don't be discouraged if things don't seem to be happening, because I want you to know it goes right on. Two of the calls I got last night were from pastors. They were African pastors living in America and Canada, and they wanted to know my opinion of the election. And one of them was following close enough. I says, well, you know, we would believe it'd be a woman. He said, yeah, but it looks like Obama's going to win. I said, so what? The Lord sets them up and takes them down. It doesn't matter. And the other day when I heard somebody challenge them, well, would you let it be Clinton, Obama, or Obama, Clinton? And neither one of them would agree with that. But, you know, I can even see that. I can see Brother Branham's prophecies coming to pass. Why? Because they're not of Brother Branham. I believe they were from God. And he wasn't but a 24-year-old kid when they came. And he was honest and faithful and true and told us about him. And through the years, people look at him and call him a prophet because God showed him those things ahead of time. And as I said in my book, Acts of the Prophet, what's the odds of the two others coming to pass when five have already come to pass the perfection the way they have? That's the basis of Thus Saith the Lord book that Richard Gioberti wrote. You want to argue about it spiritual and so forth? Well, what are you going to say about the five? It's already happened. They were not done in a closet. And look at the potential and the possibility of the others. We're very close. Now, what would be the purpose for us to come to a better understanding of the seals, and especially the seventh and the coming of the Lord, so that we'll have the right attitude? I want you to be expecting something so that when God deals with you about it, you won't say, well, that's already happened.
Right.
You'll be looking for it.
Amen.
Expecting that promise to be there.
Yes.
Brother Bram says, don't lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord.
Right.
But if he already come in 63, you've lost your enthusiasm. You've violated a message right there. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. You know, he will be bound in 1,000 years, won't he? When he comes back. I guess it never had dawned on me there. I remember the first time that Spoken Word published that song. When they put it in the hymn book, they put it, we'll have no temper then. But it's, we'll have no tempter. But that bunch had been saying, we'll have no temper then. How many want to get rid of that temper? Huh? Well, you know what makes you have that temper is the tempter. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.